Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Hello there, and welcome to what promises to be, I would say, the second raggediest date fight of all time.
What's, in your opinion, the raggediest?
I would say we hit the nadir yesterday.
We're working our way back.
Yeah, it's a slow, long walk to freedom. We're very sorry about yesterday. I'm very sorry about yesterday. But we're in a slightly better place today, although... Yes. We are really down to the wire on this one. So it's another Date Fight Light.
Date Fight Light live.
Yes.
As
whatever.
Because we don't know when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
We're not actually doing it while you're listening. It would be silly.
I mean, we don't sit down and write these out longhand anyway. It's not like a... Anyway, the point is, it's if you haven't heard it before, these are not the episodes to judge it by, but
it's
where we take great things that occurred on this day in history and we pitch them against each other.
Yes, we do. He's Jake Yap, I'm Nat Tapley, and together we have taken two of the finest aliens from the spaceship of history and are gently probing them in our laboratory of entertainment.
Oh, that's good. So, why don't you kick us off, Nat?
Okay, I will. I'm going to take us to the 20th of March, 235, when Emperor Maximinus Thrax was proclaimed the Emperor of the whole Roman Empire. Now I know what you're thinking. Maximinus Thrax, isn't he the supervillain, the billionaire archenemy of Spider-Man? No, he's not. Maximinus Thrax is actually an emperor.
And his wife, Anne.
He was huge. He was 8'6" tall.
Seriously?
We think, because of the statues that are left of him, he had acromegaly, like Richard Kiel and Andre the Giant. He was a soldier, and all the other soldiers said, well, he's the biggest soldier, he should be the emperor. And that's how he got to be the emperor. A contemporary historian, Herodian, said he had a frightening appearance and colossal size, and he sweated a lot. So we think, putting all that together, he probably had acromegaly. He wasn't emperor for very long. Pretty much the only thing he did was to double the pay of all the soldiers. That was the first thing he did. And all the soldiers went, yes, we were right to put him in charge. Well done. Yes. And then
they realized
they'd have to tax everyone a lot to pay for that. And everyone hated him. And 3 years after he became emperor, he was overthrown in the year of six emperors, in which he was succeeded by Gordian the First, Gordian the Second, Pupienus.
Come off it. You didn't.
Okay, well, maybe it's not poopy anus, or maybe you're mispronouncing it. Maybe it's puppy anus. Either puppy anus or poopy anus.
Yeah, it's much worse. I couldn't believe you could have made it worse, and yet you did.
Balbinus and Gordian the Third. Anyway, that's Emperor Maximinus. Also, he means big little. Maximinus Thrax. He's the emperor very briefly after the 20th of March, 235, followed by poopy anus. I wouldn't leave it alone.
No, well, that's part of the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fine. Let me take you to the... We have had a really long day. I'm going to go to the 20th of March, 1616.
Ooh.
And Sir Walter Raleigh is freed from the Tower of London after 13 years of imprisonment.
Oh.
Nat, fun trivia quiz. Why was he imprisoned?
Was it for... pirating against the Spanish when we suddenly like the Spanish instead of hating them?
No idea, mate. Didn't have time to look it up.
Okay. I think
sounds
it
very plausible.
I think he was meant to go and be a pirate, and then we made friends with the Spanish, and he kept being a pirate and stealing Spanish ships.
Okay. So put them there. Well, it was treason. No, it was treason he was taken for in a plot against James I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he was done for. And the chief evidence
James
against
I
him...
James I thought everyone was plotting against him. Well, he kept thinking the witches were plotting against him.
Yeah, I believe his opening defence statement was, to be fair... No, it wasn't. Henry Brooke was his friend, but also did a signed and sworn confession against him. And then he said,
oh,
this is all just hearsay and this is nonsense. So he stayed in the tower for 13 years. And did a lot, got a lot of writing done. It's kind of like what everyone's doing now, you know. Yeah. Look,
did he start a podcast?
3 months. He did. He did a podcast called One Not Quite Proven Dad in the History Tower. He wrote many treatises. I haven't written any treatises. I guess that's what Twitter is, isn't it? It's like a mini treatise.
Yeah.
The micro treatising.
Yeah.
And he wrote, this is a classic, he wrote the first volume of The History, R-I-E, of the World.
Oh. Was it just Stone Age people? They just
No, he did an ancient history of Greece and Rome. And his son, one dad in the History Tower, was conceived and born while he was imprisoned in the tower. He opened a window. So, I don't know. Anyway, he never finished the history of the world because, you know...
Too busy having kids.
Everybody...
He was otherwise engaged.
It's just, you know, people always leap off on these big, ambitious things like, let's do a daily podcast for at least a year.
Yeah. History of the world. How far did you get?
Greece, Rome, yeah. There's so much in it. So,
look, we've made it through 137 episodes. Well done, us.
Yeah. Can we stop? No, I'm kidding. I don't need to go away with a nagging feeling of, oh God, he wants to stop. I actually genuinely don't.
No,
I'm
we've
quite
just been
frustrated.
Doing exciting things, which you will all love.
I know.
A long day. If only we could tell you about them, but we can't.
We can't. But we shall when all of our hopes and dreams are dashed squarely on the floor.
I'll tell you what it all was.
Yeah.
It didn't quite happen.
Yeah. I'll put it on the board with the other ones. It's my favourite
really?
Cartoon.
You can put them all on one board.
Yeah. My favourite cartoon was, it was a writer saying something like, oh no, please don't send me a contract. There's no room for it on my wall. And on their wall, it's just endless rejection slips. Anyway, that's that. What birthday do you have?
I'm going to take you to the birthday of Carl Reiner.
Oh.
Writer of Caesar's Hour and Your Show of Shows, writer and producer of The Dick Van Dyke Show, his first and most recent Emmy nomination, because he still could get more, he's still alive, his first and most recent Emmy nominations were 64 years apart.
Crikey.
Yeah, he was the writing partner of Mel Brooks, they did The 2,000-Year-Old Man together, they met on The Sid Caesar Show, and they still eat lunch together every day.
Wow. Imagine that.
I just think it's nice. I think it's good. I think he's a good one. I approve of him.
Yeah.
And I hope that we're 95 and 98, we sit there. Maybe we'd have to see each other every day, but you know,
I'd like
a couple
that.
Times a week.
I'd like that.
We'll pop along. And then they watch their Jeopardy in the afternoon and eat their, you know, sandwiches. I assume pureed meal.
Yeah. Yes. They eat their quiche through a straw. So I've got a death for you, and it's the death of James Herbert, who died on the 20th of March, 2013. He was a horror writer.
Once.
Did you?
Yes.
What was he like?
International Horror Festival 2010. He was interesting.
You can say
as most of the people at that festival were.
I bet they were.
Yes, there were a number of very interesting people there.
Okay. I did not know that he designed his own book covers and did his own publicity, probably did know that.
No, I didn't know he did his own publicity. I knew he wrote The Rats, which you go, oh, that's a classic. I'll read The Rats. And you realise, oh, it was written in the 70s. It's weirdly pervy and paedophilic, even in the early pages. Let's put this down and never look at it again.
I got to say, I read one of his books once and I found it a bit weird and a bit kind of...
I mean, it's sort of in that 70s Benny Hillish way, like all the... Everyone's schoolgirls and their uniform was described in great detail.
Oh dear,
especially
God.
Where it doesn't quite fit in the way it
should.
Oh
man,
you know, no, this isn't the book for me.
Yeah, not it's not really the era for anyone, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I read one of his books and it was so kind of unrelentingly and gratuitously sort of salacious, I suppose, in the broadest sense, you know, not just kind of sexually, but just the imagery was so graphic and so horrific. I felt like this is not the writer for me, but you know, there's some people with a lot of issues out there, Nat, and we mustn't let them down.
How did he die? Was he eaten by rats or dissolved by a fog, or was he buried alive and had to claw his way out?
Yeah, as a supernatural, no, he was ill and then he died.
Didn't see that coming.
I think, you know, your observation, I think horror films from the 70s are so particularly distressing because what could be a more awful thing to imagine than being in the 70s, particularly being a woman, particularly perhaps being a bit depressed, probably postnatally. Damien?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What could be a worse scenario than that?
Well, I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is just being chased by a man with a chainsaw for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it is truly...
There's nothing else to it. You turn up, it's scary people. One of them wears people on his face and he chases for an hour and a half with a chainsaw.
Yeah. It's horror in the sense of it is almost
it is horrifying.
The most horrible thing you could possibly think of. Done at you. I went and saw it with someone and she said, I thought it was funny. I don't know her anymore. My life is better.
She did some chainsaw murders.
It's fine. She was a nice person. Again, issues. Right, that's it for today.
Done.
Because we gotta get out of here. We will see you tomorrow, and hopefully
yes, we will
be back to
something
better
tomorrow.
More akin to normal. Thank you for your patience at this
Thank
difficult time.
It will be worth it.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.